You're listening to Mentoring Developers, episode 62.
Welcome to Mentoring Developers, the podcast for new and aspiring software developers, where we discuss your struggles, anxieties, and career choices. And now, here's your host, Arsalan Ahmed.
Hi, everyone. It's really good to have you here with us at Mentoring Developers. In this episode, our good friend Sara Inez Calderon is going to talk to Kelly Karsnia. Who is Kelly Karsnia? Kelly currently works as Director of Mobile Engineering at a startup company in Austin, Texas. I'd say she's had a remarkable career. She started out working at a call center, worked through the ranks, and then she was so determined to get into technology to do software development that she kept pursuing it, and she didn't give up. And look at her now. She has found success through her dedication and her engagement. With other people, with her networking. She's involved in a lot of organizations. She's interested in woodworking. She's full of energy and she's full of surprises. So I think you're going to really enjoy listening to this episode, especially if you are a woman or you know somebody who is a woman who's struggling and maybe trying to get into technology and it seems intimidating. I think this story, the story of Kelly Karsnia, will inspire you. All right, take it away, Sara.
Hello, my name is Sara Inez Calderon, and this is Mentoring Developers. Today, I'm here with Kelly Karsnia, my friend, also an amazing developer, self-taught mobile engineer, and she is here with us today to talk about her career. Thank you so much for joining us, Kelly.
Sara, thank you. You are so sweet. Sara is amazing as well, and I couldn't be more delighted to be here with you.
Thanks so much. So I just wanted to start off by asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself. I met you, was it last year?
Yes.
Oh, man, it seems like a lot longer than that. But I met you last year at the Google I.O. event in Austin. But then we met again at, we met again on the Women Who Code Austin Slack. And then we became friends because you were helping me with an iOS issue I was having with PhoneGap. And then we became friends in real life. And so that's why I feel like I've known you forever. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're involved in a few organizations, not just Women Who Code Austin. And and then I want to hear all about how you got into software development.
Okay. So my name is Kelly Karsnia. I'm the Director of Mobile Engineering at a company called Tabbed Out. It's a mature startup here in Austin. As Sada said, I'm on the board for Women Who Code in Austin. I'm on the board for Lesbians Who Tech in Austin. And I'm on the advisory board for Austin Women in Technology here in Austin, obviously. And I'm also a kayaking and woodworking enthusiast.
I've seen the woodworking in person. It's pretty impressive for the listeners out there who haven't, you know, we don't have a visual. But that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm super impressed that you keep up with all those organizations. And I mean, I'm super impressed because I know you in real life. But I think that everyone who's listening is going to be, I hope you guys are ready because you're about to be even more impressed. Kelly has a really great story. She's definitely one of those, you know, if we believed in pull yourself up by your bootstraps, which some of us might, she's definitely one of those folks. So I want to hear all about how you parlayed one experience after another into your current role as Director of Mobile Engineering.
Okay. Well, I started at a call center for a social science research firm. We were doing transit and travel studies for departments of transportation and councils of government around the country. So very low-level work, but I saw direction in the company and started to go with it and worked my way up to corporate. And from corporate, I was working in verification and working on some more data-level projects that we had and saw that the company was heavily ramping up their IT department and the direction that was going. And I decided that that was the direction that I wanted to go in. I didn't have the qualifications, my degree is not even CS. I have an associate's in computer-aided drafting and design, and I'll tell you this, I've never once used it. So I saw this direction and I was fascinated by it, so I started applying for every IT job my company was posting at the time. The last one that I applied for, the current director of IT, who had formerly been the director of the call center that I was working at, called me into her office and asked me if I knew anyone for that position. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, me. She kind of laughed and said, you're not going to give up, are you? And I said, no, I'm absolutely not. So from there, she created this technician position within IT so that I could be a liaison between the people that we had just brought in IT and the rest of the company, since it's very highly specialized. There's a lot of terminology, lingo, and different aspects that I already knew about and I could help relay to the new team. So we started there. As we went along, we did not have any QA for any of our software that we were creating. So I talked to her and took it upon myself to implement an entire QA structure for software within the company.
That's awesome.
Headed that up. It was a lot of research. Go ahead.
So what I think is really interesting, because this is going to come up again, and so I think it's really important for our listeners who are probably also trying to advance in their careers, what words do you use? Like, what's the conversation like when you see an opportunity and you notice that there's a need and you want to address it? Like, how do you say, hey, why not me? Like, what's the verbiage that you use to have that conversation?
When you see those opportunities and you see the need, first of all, and I can't stress this enough, read up on what it is you want to implement before you go talk to anyone.
That's a good point.
Make sure that you can go speak, and you don't have to be an expert. Just make sure that you can speak intelligently on it, because obviously if you were the expert, you'd already be in that role.
Mm-hmm.
So show that you have been learning about these things and that you want to know more and that you are capable of actually doing those things, and go in, be confident, because we're all bosses at the end of the day when we look at ourselves, and have the conversation of, hey, we don't have anyone that's specifically in charge of this thing, and here's why we need it and how we can implement it, and I'm the person for this because I'm having the conversation with you and no one has.
Okay.
And to that aspect, you could say that about anything. But at the same time, if you have the sincerity and the conviction and you have the stick-to-itiveness, you can really put your mind to anything kind of mentality. It really works for you in a lot of ways. I've been called an attaboy before in my life. I don't agree with that at all. I think it's more of an enthusiasm and a passion for learning and always doing better.
That's cool.
So when you are able to show people that, and obviously you can't do it right off the bat, right? You can't roll into a position and a week later say, I want to be director of engineering.
Yeah.
It's typically not going to fly, but learn what you can while you can and look for those opportunities and figure out how you can be the best fit possible.
That's really good advice. Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for that. I didn't want to interrupt your story.
No,
it's good. You implemented QA from scratch at this research company.
Which was a lot of learning and research on my own time. It was very time consuming, however, very worth it. And I really enjoyed it. It was something that I had never really thought about before, but once I started getting into it, it was really fascinating to me because it allowed me to see how our technology was working and be able to give really solid inputs because I had a lot of knowledge in these areas of the software that we were building. So I started breaking things, and I started really breaking things.
In the existing infrastructure.
In the existing infrastructure and the new software that we're developing.
As QA.
So to that, Not going to lie. I made some developers cry. I'm not very proud of that. I could have done better on that.
Uh-huh.
But that also taught me an important learning aspect of how to interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
And you catch more flies with honey, but not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of hard on the developers, to say the least. And I started realizing maybe it would be better if I learned how to do these things myself, because they didn't always have the answers that I wanted to hear when things would break.
Oh, like, why is this broken? The eternal question.
Yeah. As an engineer now, I'm like, wow, I could have done that a lot better. But but I started talking with my devs, and I was like, you know, I really want to understand, and I know that you guys can't always tell me. I really want to learn.
Yeah.
So they actually were able to set me up with some of our code sets that I could play around with in my own time, my own, you know, I didn't even have an environment, so I was just pulling code sets down and going through them and figuring out how everything worked together. And, you know, obviously just Stack Overflow and Google, I would modify something and then it would break, and then I would go and figure out why it broke and learn how it was fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing that, I was fascinated by it, and I just fell in love with writing code, because code to me is a giant puzzle.
Mm.
And I apply that into a lot of things in my life. And figuring out the puzzle and how it fits together and be able to modify the puzzle yourself was something very special to me. It gave me a new outlook on life, and it also gave me a new direction in life of where I wanted to go. So that was really amazing. But I will say that, you know, there are limitations when you're learning. Mm-hmm. For example, I started out with Android because I couldn't afford a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
But Android allowed me to learn the basics of how we were doing mobile.
Sure. So you're working at this research company, and you're talking to the devs, and you're doing QA, and so through that, you decided that it might be interesting or worthwhile to learn how to write code. And mm-hmm. then you didn't have a Mac, so you said, okay, I'll just start on Android. And they were doing mobile apps?
Correct.
You were doing QA mobile, okay.
We were just starting to foray into the mobile mm-hmm. application world. This was about 7 years ago when... And especially in the government research sector, it's a little more behind the times, so
sure.
It's kind of a tough sell.
Wow. So then you start doing Android development, so which is awesome. So impressed. And so then what do you do? Okay, so you start doing Android. But we know you're like a bilingual mobile dev. So what happens after you start learning Android development?
So I started learning Android, and I got to a point where we had a simpler survey application that was pre-built out that I'd been playing with
mm-hmm.
while I was learning. And we needed a modification on that. And I went to my director, the one that gave me my shots,
mm-hmm.
that believed in me, that allowed me to do the QA and do all the stuff. She knew that I was learning on my own. I went and said, we don't need to hire a third party. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, okay.
Mm,
I trust
wow.
you. I believe in you.
That's cool.
And she said, if at any point you feel like you can't, come to me
yeah.
and tell me, and we will get someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, project deadlines are very important.
Yeah.
So there's ego and there's reality.
Yeah.
You always have to keep in line with reality, and don't think that it will look bad on you if you try.
Sure.
But always be realistic with what you can do and what you can't, especially mm-hmm. if you're self-taught.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
So I had 2 weeks, and I made all the modifications.
Wow.
And it was the first time I had ever seen my code go into production.
That is amazing.
Because
you QA'd it too.
Actually, yes, they did. Don't ever do that. But they did have me QA my own code. I did ask some other devs to check it for me.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they did, but it was more of a walking through and making sure that nothing, you know, service level in the app was
broken.
Wow. Yeah, so it was So a very special place in my heart for the transit and travel industry for this reason. So from there, they came to me and they asked me if I wanted to, or actually, let me take that back. They didn't ask me. I expressed interest in learning iOS.
Yeah. Wow.
And they were like, yeah, what do you need?
Do that.
And they went out that day and bought me a MacBook.
Wow.
And they told me that when I got up to speed on that and when I started feeling comfortable on that, to let them know. So it took me...
That was still on your own time, though?
Still on my own time. Okay. I had some company
while
time to do
QA.
It.
While
I was doing QA and then also more Android code. But I was ambitious and I loved it. And I knew that the opportunity was not once in a lifetime, but for that time, what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So I put my nose to the grind again, and within 4 months, I went to them and said, we were scoping something else. And I said, give me a shot at doing this. Mm-hmm. And I built my first iOS app from scratch, along with an Android app from scratch at the same time.
Wow.
And it was pretty intense. So as I said, with the transit and travel industry making these apps, there's a lot of location service aspects involved, and there's very calculated things that you have to do to be in compliance with what departments of transportation and councils of government will be acceptable data. So I was really focused on not just from a QA aspect, from also a data aspect, with understanding this industry on how to collect that data. And I did some really interesting things that I had to explain to the Apple Store. But at the end of the day, they ended up being okay with it.
Wow, that's awesome. So then you became a fully fledged, totally mobile engineer.
Yeah, I was hooked at that point.
Yeah.
It was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but the payoff and the way that I felt after each of these was more than worth it.
Yeah. So then, if I recall correctly, you did end up doing different types of contract work and worked at different companies after this place, all in mobile, before you landed at your current position. So do you want to tell me a little bit about how that went for you and, you know, maybe how you kind of like mentored or were mentored along the way?
Sure. Yeah. So mentorship initially played a role in my career from the initial director that I, the aforementioned director that gave me my shot. Her name is Sandra. She was the director of IT. As I said, she actually herself migrated from the director of the call center to director of IT without knowing much about IT. But she was a very, very good director. And she was always my cheerleader. Showed me that as long as I worked hard and acted with ambition, I could achieve goals that once seemed like really far-fetched and just almost fantasy.
Uh-huh.
And this was great in me, from my start in IT, and I've carried it throughout my entire career.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always very special to me. You know,
that's
all
cool.
It takes is one person. I've had mentors along the way, but, you know, we're still in touch. And actually, every mentor that I've had, I'm still in touch with, and they boosted me to where I am now, and that is invaluable.
That is so cool.
Yeah. You never forget those people.
Yeah, definitely. And so tell me a little bit about how you found these organizations that you're involved with, Women Who Code Austin, Lesbians Who Tech Austin, and Austin Women in Technology, or Austin Technology Council, or what is it?
Austin Women in Technology.
Austin Women in Technology, and how those are opportunities for you to either continue to be mentored or to mentor back, and how you think that that's important.
Well, as you said, I initially met you at Google I.O. Extended.
Yeah.
Sada gave me her card. We were both front and center and ready to go.
Were you... I was there with Women Who Code Austin. That's how
right. I was there with my current company.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They got me in, and I was front and center, ready to go. I was I was actually about to do my first live tweeting session. Super excited. Because I had just gotten into Twitter and I was like, all right, I'm ready. And then I meet this amazing woman, Sada. And she gives me her card. I'm like, oh, wow, Women Who Code. So we go through the thing and, you know, we kind of touch base a little bit after, but we're all really amped up from Android and Google.
Yeah.
So I mentioned to one of my buddies at Lesbians Who Tech, you know, I met Sada, and she was like, wow, she's amazing. And I was like, yeah, she really is. And then you and I got back in touch, and at that point, I had...
Because you were mentoring me in iOS on Slack. Why is this broken?
Which was a very special experience, and I will say... Gonna throw this out there. Never be afraid to ask for help because you never know who's gonna be your salvation. And it was great because Sada and I, we talked through this. And I don't know if I was...
You were helpful.
The ultimate solution, but I gave advice on on different things. And I sent articles. Yes. I sent documentation. Yes. And I sent certain things over just to make sure. And, you know, this didn't take more than... Probably over the course of, like, 3 days, like...
Yeah. Well, and I'll say...
2 hours of my time spread out.
Yeah. And from my perspective, honestly, even just you, like, saying, oh, yeah, that's happened to me before, right, made me feel like, oh, my God, I'm not stupid.
And then we were able to make jokes with each other about different aspects of iOS that are just...
Yeah.
They could be better.
And now I'm a mobile developer now.
Right?
Oh my God.
This girl is amazing. I mean, I'm in the presence of greatness right now.
Right back at you.
I am basking in this glow coming from her right now.
You're so sweet. So we met at Google I.O. and then we're talking to your Lesbians Who Tech cohort here in Austin.
And at that time, I was just kind of going to different meetups and happy hours. And, you know, I started being around all of these amazing women in tech who were just incredibly inspirational for me with who they are and what they do to boost women in tech as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I wanted to join these amazing women and started really getting involved with these organizations beyond meetups and happy hours. Mm-hmm. Just finding ways that I could be a benefit as a mobile developer.
Sure.
Because there's so few of us to begin with, and there's even fewer in these two special, you know, Android and iOS specialized areas.
Sure.
So, you know, I dug in and I started to talk to more people, and then Sada and I reconnected, and I believe you asked me if I wanted to, was it Country Girls Can Code?
Probably, yeah. So we had an event. Okay, so it's not my event. Women Who Code works with women, but through Women Who Code and yoga, I became connected with a really cool group here in Texas, Techs for Tech,
right,
that organizes, I think the last 2 years, an event in Manor, Texas.
Which is amazing.
Called Country Girls Can Code, and they bring rural high school girls from parts of East, Central, and South Texas to Manor for a day of coding. So I was volunteered to help organize this event. And it's always really great to see the young ladies. I mean, this is the first time they've ever built a whole thing most of the time. I mean, they've done Minecraft or a little bit of this and that, but they've never from scratch built anything. So that's always cool. And this year we had them all make GitHub accounts and they pushed up all their code and we showed them how to use a command line, aka we did the command line for them and they watched. It was, I mean, I wish someone had done that
AKA
for me.
AKA we all Googled syntax. Or at least, I'm not going to lie, I did.
Good.
I know.
Why is it broken?
Yeah.
but yeah, and so I had, you know, through Women Who Code and Udemy, I won a scholarship to do an iOS class. And so I started doing an iOS class. My first app was a Hello World app. And I thought, this is a really cool tutorial. So I said, hey, Kelly, do you want to teach the children iOS? Here's a tutorial. So anyways, long story short, Kelly taught the children. I was tutorial.
So I led the tutorial, and Sada kept me and the girls on a...
The young ladies.
On a timeline. The young ladies on a...
On task.
On task and on a timeline, because I wanted to help everybody. But sometimes you just gotta... You just gotta get out there and lead.
Gotta power through. There's 50. There's 50 of them, by the way.
52
high school girls. That's a lot of girls.
So one of my favorite stories from this actually is after we got through the tutorials, so there's an HTML CSS component for web that they were learning. And we split them up into two groups.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So half of them were doing HTML and CSS, and half of them were with me, and then they switch. Me and Sada.
Yeah.
And they switched, and we get through that, and then we allowed them time to come back and ask questions and finish up. And one of these young ladies was having a tough time when she came back for
the Q&A.
The Q&A. And I will never forget her face and the frustration on it. And she said, "My code is failing just like I am."
Oh, no.
And I was like, no, no, absolutely not. I was like, you know what? If I write code for 20 minutes and run it and it doesn't fail, I'm like, what?
Something's hiding.
What is going on here? Like, Xcode is not this nice to me ever. So it was really special to be able to connect with her. And she laughed and she was just like, really? And I was like, yeah, seriously. And one of the things that was also cool is during both tutorials that I did, there were build issues that I was able to highlight and show them how to work through, because one of the most maddening parts of teaching yourself is getting frustrated with IDEs and project setup and how to actually work through those and do all that. And, you know, you look around you a lot of the time at these companies, and you don't see the struggle on everyone's face.
Sure.
So it's important to make the struggle apparent. And I feel like that is part of mentoring, is allowing people to understand that there's going to be frustrations, and the frustrations that you have are along the lines of frustrations that they're going to have. But it's okay. You can work past those, and you can... If you can get through this, you can get through anything.
Sure.
Kind of mentality. And, you know, that's something that was, like I said, ingrained in me from the start, was just, you know, keep fighting. And if you don't give up on yourself, no one else can give up on you.
Yeah.
I mean, they can, but...
But you'll keep going.
You'll keep going because you never gave up on yourself.
Yeah, totally.
There's pitfalls, there's quicksand you're going to hit, there's all that, but...
Yeah.
Just... Never stop and allow yourself to have some kind of mentorship ability. And even when you don't have it, work your way up there. And even if you think that you're not going to be a good mentor, you're probably going to surprise yourself.
Yeah.
I had a company once tell me that I wasn't good for a job because I only had three faces. And
that's... Because they were judging the facial expressions you made.
Right. They were judging facial expressions that I made.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
So.
Very professional.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Those were not any of my mentors.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a really great thing to, really great things to highlight. And I think you've and I had conversations about this too, where it's like, look, if you don't decide at some point that you are going to make, you're going to make this happen, you are going to be a developer, or you are going to be QA, or you're going to be whatever it is that you want to be, I think that inspires even mentors to take confidence in you, right?
Right.
So, I mean, obviously you can't just get a mentor by conjuring one up. So you have to keep working, even if you don't have those mentors in place, and kind of mentor yourself or find mentors through organizations. I mean, when I met you, when we really started, you know, communicating on Slack, I was really like, oh my God, why is PhoneGap the worst thing ever? Will someone help me? And for those who are wondering, the answer to my problems was that it wasn't broken in Xcode, only in PhoneGap.
Oh, right. Exactly. Because we talked about that.
You're like, no, it's just broken here.
It's not actually broken.
You know what? I don't have the most robust experience in phone gap, but what I was able to do, because I am self-taught and I'm so used to this, was I hit Stack Overflow in Google.
Yeah, exactly.
And I researched, and with the knowledge that I do have of it, I was able to kind of piece some things together and send it over to you. And, you know, I will say this, in terms of, like, being an unexpected mentor and not even knowing it, I had been in the Women Who Code Slack for maybe a month or two, and I've been waiting for someone to just ask a question about mobile. And finally, Sada asked the question, and I'm like, right here. I'm right here.
I'm ready.
What do you need? Anything you need.
That is so, like, funny.
We'll work through this together. Like, just so happy that there's some solidarity here and something that I can provide value in.
Sure.
Because that makes me feel good as a person to spread the knowledge that that I've learned over my time and allow other people to understand that there's struggles we all go through. And also that they're not the only ones struggling. Yeah. Other people have been there before them.
So, thank you. Yeah, I love that. You tell the best stories. Oh, my God. So, one of the things I want to talk about now is, like, and this is something we were talking about earlier, not on the podcast, but in real life, which is that, you know, I spend a lot of time, I volunteer a lot of my time to Women Who Code Austin.
Yes, you do. And thank you for that.
Aw. But you volunteer a lot of time to Women Who Code Austin, and to Austin Women in Technology, and to Lesbians Who Tech, and Austin. And so, like, what is the value of mentorship? I mean, these are advocacy organizations in one definition of what they do. So how do you feel that mentorship can change technology and change the space for women, for the LGBTQ community, for people who are, quote-unquote, underrepresented in technology? Because I think fundamentally we must believe that it can, otherwise we wouldn't be volunteering all this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. So how I feel about that is there's so much solidarity when you're mentoring and when you're being mentored.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have someone that is literally there because you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're there for someone else or someone else is there for you, you have at least one person.
Yeah.
Either way, neither of you are alone in that. And then you see this community as a whole where we're all there for each other and we all have solidarity with each other. So when you're having your loneliest day or when you're having just that moment where your code's broken and you don't know why, or you're a project manager or a product manager and nothing's going as well as you thought, you have a community around you, or you have people you can talk to about this. Mm-hmm. And that's why we are mentors and mentees. Because this is the important aspect. You don't just celebrate when something goes right.
Yeah.
You talk to people when things go right, you celebrate it. You talk to people when things go wrong.
Yeah.
And then when you fix it, you can celebrate together.
Yeah.
And that aspect alone, I'll say this. So mentoring not only helped me become the person that I am today through just being continually mentored.
Yeah.
But also helped me further myself as a person through mentoring others, like, in this aspect.
Sure.
So when you're a mentor, you get a much better grasp of the people that are in your field around you and the people coming into your field. Which is monumental.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Right now, as a director hiring junior developers, I don't necessarily look for the people that know the lingo.
Yeah.
I look for the people that have the will to learn, the people that have something to offer that I can work with, and the people that have an ability to just get after it and better themselves.
Yeah,
That's important to me because I see that, and I know that from being mentored, that is important.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be where I am today if my mentors thought that because I didn't know everything and I didn't know every acronym and I didn't know you know every single piece of tech jargon out there, that I wasn't worthy of the job.
Sure.
So that really changed me, and it also allowed me to get a better understanding of not just coworkers and not just people in my field, but friends, family, and everyone in between. Because you start looking at things differently, because you experience different things working with people. Hearing other people's experiences and sharing yours. So my experience, I never thought that I would be on this podcast speaking intelligently about this and mm-hmm. that anyone would care. But guess what?
I know I you care. Yeah.
Thank you, Sada. Thank you. It means the world to me. And I hope you can tell, just even through this podcast, the way that Sada and I lift each other up. And this is not fake. This is genuine.
This is what, totally real.
This is what we do for each other as friends.
It's way too late on a Tuesday to be lying.
It is. It's way too late on a Tuesday to be lying. It's been a long day for both of us.
It's been a long day.
But we're here and we're doing this because we care. And we care about each other and we care about the community. And that brings so much solidarity.
Sure.
So much understanding. And, you know, I'll say that mentoring in general, which side you're on doesn't matter. It will make you a better person as long as the person you are working with on both sides of the fence.
Yeah.
Is someone that is accepting of
feedback
and also is understanding of the way that things are working around you. So
yeah.
I've talked a lot about my first mentor, Sandra, and, you know, I had lunch with her the other day.
Yeah.
And she's still lifting me up.
That's cool, man.
And I have people that I've mentored that I am just constantly cheerleading for, and it's not because I just like to waste my breath. It's because I really believe in people.
Sure.
And that's what we are able to provide each other. And so there's also knowledge transfer, there's also teaching each other, but also ensuring that we know we can do this. And we know we can do this because we have each other's backs. It is really vital to the industry, because otherwise you're going to feel very alone. When I first started out teaching myself how to write code, and even when I first started out learning tech things as a made-up technician position, mm-hmm. it was very intimidating. But I had people that were surrounding me that they were like, no, you're good, and we're gonna make sure that... So you're teaching us stuff about the company. We're going to teach you stuff about tech.
Yeah.
And we're not going to treat you any differently because you don't know what SQL is right now.
Yeah.
We're going to show you what SQL is. We're going to show you what that does so that you can understand it, at least from a technical standpoint of this is backend.
Yeah.
And those kinds of things. You know, it's... We all have to start somewhere, and I firmly believe that... All right, so college is great, but it's not for everyone. It wasn't for me. And my mentors understood that. And it's something that I try to pass along for, you know, I come across women almost on a daily basis that have not gone to school for CS or that have and just don't know where they want to go.
Interesting.
Try to help them find what they actually want to do.
That's so interesting, right? To be in that position where you're talking to CS majors and you're like, it doesn't matter because they don't teach what you need to know in college.
Right. It's almost like, well, so all those like kind of tutorials you followed and all those things.
Yeah. That's actually
you're
going to
get hit
valuable.
Hard with curveballs left and right.
Yeah.
You're
going to
get handed code sets that don't make any sense. You're going to get handed feature changes that you realize once you look at even your own code set, your code set doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's, you know, programming and tech in general, it's a tough pill to swallow sometimes.
Yeah.
But as long as you can have your community around you and you can have your base and these people that you can go to and be that person for other people, it's invaluable.
Yeah.
And especially, I will say this, I love going to my mentors and I love talking to them and I still go to them for things occasionally. And when I say occasionally, I mean like I talked to one of them in particular several times a week. He's also a very good friend, but he also helps me. Yeah, so this is
awesome.
He's a mentor that taught me a lot about tech, but also taught me how to breathe in tech.
Oh, really?
Taught me how to take a break and walk away and move around and just try to forget about it for a minute. And that was also monumental. So I talked to him quite a bit, and he still helps me be able to do those things. And he helps me pass that knowledge on to other people. Like, sometimes you just gotta get away. Sometimes Sometimes the fix won't be right in front of you. I've literally dreamed of fixes before.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I've gotten up at 3 a.m. after a dream and put a fix in and it worked.
Yeah.
So, in your mind, right, all that, it's... So, a mentor is not just, here's how you write code. A mentor is how you handle the aspects around it.
Sure.
It's not just gonna be one. Hopefully you are fortunate enough to find several. And then hopefully you are fortunate enough to find several people that you can be a mentor for in your life.
Sure.
Because the people that I've mentored in my life and the people that I continue to mentor continue to change my life in these positive ways. And like I said,
that's cool.
You know, like I said before, they give me different outlooks on things.
That's in my awesome. Career. So what would you say? I think we're going to wrap it up here because it's, you know, it's Tuesday night. It's late in the night.
Yes, it is Taco Tuesday.
We have had long days. But I do want to leave our listeners with some more of your knowledge. So I want to ask two questions, but it's the same question. What two tips would you have for someone who is trying to be mentored or trying to learn software? And what two tips would you have for someone who's trying to groom or mentor or bring people up in technology?
For someone that is trying to learn, find out the technical resources you have in your community. And if you can't make it to these things, find things like the Women Who Code Slack team, where you can jump on and literally get on there and be like, I have zero tech experience, but I want to get into tech. Here's the things I'm interested in. All the way to, I'm having this really specific problem with iOS.
Yeah.
And everything in between. Find resources like that. They're out there. Obviously, if you're going into tech, you're going to, at some point, have access to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
If you are trying to Google things, Google the city you're in. If you're a woman,
mm-hmm.
try to Google women who code in your city,
mm-hmm.
and hit them up. Even if you're not in a city that has that, I would recommend still hitting up the Women Who Code Austin Slack team. Because it is seriously the most amazing resource for women in tech as a whole that I have ever come across.
Aww.
It is amazing. And that's not me doing shameless self-promotion. This is very legitimate. Find your community, find what you like to do, go to meetups, talk to people, find the person that you would like to be mentored by, because there's different personalities out there and there's different ways that people learn. I, for one, have some learning disabilities,
mm-hmm.
and there's certain ways that I learn and there's certain ways that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So the mentors that I've had have been able to relate to me on the level that so full disclosure, I have adult ADD and adult ADHD and tendency towards dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
So I have people that understand these things about me, so that like it allows them to tailor things to my specific criteria when they're talking with me. Because there's...
As though they wanted you to be successful.
Yes. Exactly. See, I couldn't even find the words for that. Instead, I came right in because she knows, because... Little did she know, she's one of my mentors.
Aw, Phoebe.
Love you. So there's that. And then also, pick your battles with a mentor.
Because
it's going to be frustrating. There's going to be times that you want to cry. There's going to be times you want to scream.
Yeah. That's a good one.
But go to them and understand, like,
Okay, so
like try to be most as of the open time, as you can.
Right, try to be as open as you can about what's going on. Talk to them because they're people too, and this is why it's important to pick a mentor that is that you know is good for you and can work on your level. Someone can be the most brilliant Python developer, but if they can't relate to you on your level,
you're
not going to write very good Python because you're going to feel like you have to measure up to them. That's not okay. That's not acceptable as a mentor. A mentor should always be able to speak to you on your level.
Yeah.
And if they can't, please find another. Okay. So relates back to that, but just be open, but understand that the mentors that you pick...
Yeah.
Mentors shouldn't be singling you out against your will. I've seen that happen before, and it's weird. I've had people try to do it to me, and it's very uncomfortable and weird, and then you have to do this whole thing where it's... Like... Anyway. So be open, be honest, and understand that your mentors are trying to help you, and if you are feeling frustrated, communicate that with them.
Yeah. And they'll help you through. Nice, respectful,
right. In a nice, normal, respectful...
professional way.
Correct.
And so if you are a mentor, because I know you are also a mentor, not just to the children, but you were at a hackathon this last weekend. You've been a judge at hackathons. I mean, what is your advice to people who are mentoring?
My advice would be everything I just said on the other side of the fence about what a mentor should be.
Yeah.
Be understanding with your mentees. They don't know everything. That's why you're there to help them.
Yeah.
Also, don't be opposed to learning from your mentees. Mm. Because I have learned from my mentees very valuable points that I didn't realize or didn't know or how to work with people. But be open, be understanding. Treat them with tender, loving care. Mm-hmm. Because we've all been there before and we all know how it feels. And don't... Also, explain what acronyms are.
Yeah, that's really good practical advice.
It really is.
So I was going to say earlier, for anyone who doesn't know what an IDE is,
it's an
integrated development environment, aka a program like Visual Studio Code or Sublime or Atom
or Xcode or Android Studio
or Visual Studio or Android Studio.
Explain the difference between a text editor and an IDE.
Yeah. So anyways, all that stuff. Because I know when I started, I agree with you. I love that. Because when I started working too, I was just like, I'm so stupid. Yeah. What's a CLI?
And also, even if you're like just throwing words out there that are common in the industry, like Jenkins. The first time I heard of Jenkins, I was like, I have no clue what this is.
Well, that makes sense, because when I talk to people, I was like, do you know what that is? They're like, no. I was like, okay, well, I didn't know what it was when I first heard it either. What it is da-da-da-da. They try to make it sound all fancy, but it's not fancy. It just means this. Okay, right. And then you can continue with your conversation. It's just faster.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, that's good.
Just being careful in your explanations and allowing them to feel that the information they're getting from you is digestible.
Cool. Well, are there any closing thoughts? I think we're going to wrap up here, but
yes.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for being on Mentoring Developers, Kelly. You're the best.
So I would like to close with everyone out there. Don't forget to be awesome, because each and every one of us is doing this, everything we're doing. If you're listening to this podcast, you're doing it because you're awesome and you want to be
even
that
more
next
awesome.
Level.
Yeah.
So keep pushing at it. There's the only limitation that you have in life, not the only, but a major limitation that you can have in coding is thinking that you can't.
Yeah.
So always push for the next and never plateau. Because you can always be more awesome than you are. I mean, you can plateau for a little bit, but don't forget to be awesome and don't forget to be your most awesome self. It's going to be frustrating and it's going to be hard, but I'm seriously going to say this from the bottom of my heart. I may not know any of you, but I'm proud of each and every one of you. No, real talk.
She totally means it. I know her.
I'm not going to tear up right now.
No. She's not tearing up. She's trying not to.
And I hope that I have been as amazing as Sada. Aww, and I would like to, thanks. Sada, I would like to thank you for having me on your podcast.
Totally. Thanks for being here.
You are an inspiration to me.
Aww,
and you,
you
are one of my mentors.
That's
and this
nice.
Means a lot.
You're one of my mentors too.
High five. Thanks. Also, high five, people.
High five to those out there. We just did two high fives for you guys. So, if you want to follow Kelly, because she's amazing on social media, her handle is
at the Rocky Nash on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Rocky Nash on Facebook. You can't miss me. I'm wearing a Bring Out Lesbian to Work Day shirt in my profile picture for Facebook.
That's a good picture. That's I know great. That picture.
It's great. Sada took that picture.
And if you want to follow Mentoring Developers, I think it's Mentoring Devs on Twitter. And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. And you can listen to us and share any newbies you know, or if you're a newbie, you know, you can reach out to me if you want me to interview someone who you think is interesting. All of my social media is Sada Chicadee, S-A-R-A-C-H-I-C-A-D, like dog. And like I said, follow Mentoring Devs, Mentoring Developers. Thanks so much for being here. We're going to wind this down and we'll talk to y'all next week. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Hi, folks. It's really good to know that you made it to the end of this episode. Did you enjoy listening to it? Did you have any questions that you wanted to ask or maybe some suggestions? Fire me an email at us@mentoringdevelopers.com and I'll see to it that it gets responded. Also, go ahead and sign up for the email list if you have not done that already. Go to mentoringdevelopers.com and you'll be able to sign up for email list. And once you do, I'll send you my 5 steps to success as a software developer, and also send you information about salary negotiations and how to get better salaries. And you can ask me any questions you want over there, and I'll be able to answer it through email personally. Also, if you're interested in getting a free t-shirt about diversity that I've designed, then go ahead and ask me a question. If your question is good and it gets featured on the podcast, you will be eligible to win a free t-shirt. A pretty cool t-shirt, if I may say myself. Once again, thanks for listening and stay in touch.
For show notes and transcripts, visit us at mentoringdevelopers.com.